Yes, so again, welcome back. This is Brother Jackson, and today we will continue with the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. Last Sabbath, besides reviewing what we read before, we continued with brothers, with Paul, how on the road to Damascus, breathing out cruelty, he wanted to bring havoc to the congregations, the sovereign Yeshua, the sovereign anointed Savior, stopped him and told him that he would be told what he must do. And in verse 10 and on, while praying, we know he saw the prophet Ananias, who came to him, laid hands on him that he might restore his vision. And we saw some important points, such as the need to reason with Elohim, as we saw. We should not, as his servants, when things are not clear to us, we must ask him, okay? We must have conversation with Elohim. And we saw the importance of prayer. And the sovereign said unto him, that is to Ananias, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul, or of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. For behold, he is praying. We saw, and we talked a little about the importance of prayer. It's good to read the scriptures, but even more so to have that prayer, that fellowship with Elohim. That's how you have the fellowship with Elohim, not so much reading the scripture. The scriptures are for instructions, how to fellowship, what to do. But we must be doers. And one of the things we must be doing is praying. So after the sovereign explained to Ananias, you know, about Paul, he said, go thy way, he is my chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's where we left off last Sabbath. So we pointed out that these constraints that religion and theologians put upon the apostles are useless. They put constraints on everything, trying to put a label on anything. Oh, Peter was the apostle to the Gentiles, or Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, when Elohim said no such thing. Peter was actually the apostle to both Gentile and Jews. So was Saul. Saul became was made an apostle to bear the name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, not just to one. There might have been a greater response, but Paul was to serve all. Even as you will see, he says later on, he has made himself a servant to all, not just to one. So we need to be very careful that we read the scriptures and know what it says himself. This is a minor thing, but it happens. All the theologians and scholars do that about everything in the scriptures, especially very important things. They try to label everything. They try to bring the great things of Elohim into one word. It's not to be done. It doesn't work that way. So let's continue with verse 17. I'll read as much as I always do, as much as makes sense, okay? So let's continue with verse 17, and then we'll discuss it. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, that is Saul, brother Saul, the sovereign, even Yeshua, the anointed, the Savior, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, with the set-apart Spirit. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight for immediately, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20, and straightway he preached Messiah in the synagogues, that he is the Son of Elohim. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed, and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came here for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Messiah, very anointed. This is the very anointed. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed. OK, Okay, we'll stop here and review and see if we could go further. So beginning with verse 17, we see that Ananias, having received his understanding. How did he receive this understanding? Did he go search the scriptures? Did he go search the prophets and say, what does this mean? What meaneth this? No, he did not. The Spirit, he had the fellowship of the Spirit, which is what Acts chapter 2 is all about, which is what Messiah's death and resurrection is all about for the new covenant. It's not about so much searching the scriptures in that way. Okay, searching the scriptures in that way is really for those who don't yet have the full understanding of the fellowship of the Spirit. When you have the fellowship of the Spirit tells you what to do. As we saw in Philip, as we saw in all the previous verses, and it will continue throughout that way throughout the book of Acts, throughout the entirety of scriptures, and throughout the lives of those who have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will tell you what to do. So having learned from what the Spirit tells him to do, he went and did exactly that. He went to the house as he was told, and putting his hands on him, not just one. So sometimes it's a hand, sometimes it's a hand. There's no rule that says you must put your right hand, your left hand, or one hand. As you know, it could be both, it could be one. Elohim is Spirit, and he can do all things. So Brother Saul, he tells him, he immediately addresses him as a brother. Doesn't have much conversation with him. Remember, Paul was already told by the Spirit in the vision that a certain man named Ananias would come to him. And so this was arranged by the Spirit of Elohim, so they already recognized each other. Very similar to what happened with Peter and Cornelius. So he reached out his hand. Brother Saul, the sovereign, even the Savior, has appeared unto you, telling Saul what happened to Saul. He's communicating, he's creating that bond by the work of the Spirit, telling him what he, that is Saul, experienced. So he's telling Saul what Saul had experienced, that appeared unto you in the way you came and sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Paul was praying that he might receive his sight. And that's why Elohim answered that prayer. And he also, not only will you receive his sight, you're going to receive the Spirit. Why? Because Paul repented of his error. Very key. There's no way anyone's going to receive and be sealed by the Spirit of until you repent. We must not deceive ourselves into thinking that. This is the seal of Elohim, and a seal that no one can remove. A one that once you're in his hand, no one can take you out of his hand. And he will cause us to keep his commandments. I guess, as I mentioned last Sabbath, he doesn't take away our free will. But by our free will, we covenant with him. We enter into the covenant. We, as mature people, understanding what the covenant says. The covenant says, I will cause you. So we need to agree with that. Once we agree, then he does it, providing that our hearts are right with him. We saw in a few chapters before that our hearts must be right. He's not going to give his Spirit to anyone whose hearts aren't right. And if our hearts are right, he's going to give us his Spirit, and he will never leave us. If we sin, he'll never leave us. He'll chastise us, but he won't leave us. So Ananias went his way. And Paul said that, and he told him that you might receive your sight and that you might receive the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. And immediately there fell from his eyes, instantly, not next day, instantly, as it had been scaled. So there was something obstructing his vision, and power of the Spirit removed them safely from his eyes, and arose and was baptized. He was not argumentative. He did not try to argue and so much. He was forthwith arose and was baptized as was required of him. And when he had received food, he did eat. He was strengthened. Give us this day our daily bread, the prayer says, right? So we're made of different things. We're made of flesh. We are given a spirit, which is a spirit of Elohim. It's not a seal. And that's to show you, because when Elohim breathed his spirit into man, that spirit continues to be in every person, male and female, child, young and old, that's born. But that spirit is not a seal of everlasting life. It's just the spirit of Elohim. It's the same spirit, but that spirit is given them for life. That's it. And that spirit, but if the person dies a sinner, that spirit returns to Elohim. But if a person becomes converted and their heart is right, that's his Holy Spirit comes upon and stays and never leaves. As we see in David, he says, I will not depart from, I will not abandon them. But if they sin against me, I will chastise them, he says. And we see examples of that in the book of Corinthians, where there was this terrible sinner committing sins that even the Gentiles did not commit. What did Paul says? This is way beyond this chapter. Paul says that he might be punished, that his body might be delivered to the enemy, so that his body might be destroyed, but that his life, his soul might be saved. Very clear indicator of what happens in the new covenant when someone's heart is right. Because our hearts might be right, but in our flesh, we may not be able to do everything we want to do. And for these things, the believers of the new covenant, once they have their hearts right, they're entered the new covenant, they're chastised for these things, but they're not cast away. They might be chastised even unto death, but they're not cast away. Let's continue. So, and the daily bread thing, we must pray for our daily bread. Our daily bread is both physical and spiritual. We need to pray, like when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we need to pray for our physical sustenance, for our spiritual sustenance, for our mental sustenance, for everything we need to equip us for life in this world and in the world to come. So he ate the meat and he was strengthened. Then certain days he spent time at Damascus, the people that he came to destroy. Right? And what did he do? He spent time. He had fellowship with the disciples, which were at Damascus. The love of Elohim was now in his heart. Before, as we saw, he was breathing out cruelty. He couldn't do enough against the congregation of Elohim. And he went to Damascus to bring them all. He wanted to bring them all to imprison the men and women. But now he's in fellowship with them. That's the work of the Spirit. He's been reading the Torah for how many years? That could not happen. As a matter of fact, from reading the Torah and everything else that was going on his life, there was but confusion. For knowledge puffs up, it says. Let us not be puffed up with the leaven of malice and so on, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now by the Spirit, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is now in Saul. And now he is fellowshipping with those in Damascus. It's not, the Torah tells us what to do, what not to do. Torah cannot enable us to do it. Only the Spirit of Elohim does that, if our hearts are right. And straightway he preached Messiah in the synagogues that he is the Son of Elohim. Why? Because the Pharisaic rabbinical dismiss that whole concept of that Messiah is the Son of Elohim. But the people in Damascus knew that. So they had no arguments. They had no qualms with that. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them into the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength. He grew in strength. So it didn't happen in one day. He received the Spirit. Was he strengthened? Did he become like Messiah in one day? No. And even after many years, he said he did not attain to it yet. So that's to show you that when we come into this bond of fellowship, we must not dismiss each other over differences of understanding. Rather, we must have discernment, like Peter and John. Is her heart, is his heart right? And we don't judge, we pray to Elohim that we might discern. And that's what we look for fellowship. Is the person's heart right? Not if how he says the name of Elohim, not if he speaks Hebrew, but is there love in his or her heart? You see, because he had to grow. Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Yehudim which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Messiah. He was able to prove it to them that Messiah is not just a coming man, as especially the Pharisees would say and the rabbis of today teach, but Messiah is very Son of Elohim, is very Messiah. Because there were some who believed in the Messiah, but said that he was just a man that was coming, that was going to come, and one day he's going to do certain things and die. No, no, no. The Messiah is the son of Elohim, and he was able to prove that in Damascus. And verse 23, and I'll stop at verse 27. And after that, many days were fulfilled, the Yehudim took counsel or to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and set him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he had seen the sovereign in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Yahushua, the sovereign's, the Savior. A quick recap, and then I'll try to stop because it's already past, it's already one. So here it is. He spent many days, and now what happened? Notice it says the Yehudim took counsel to kill him. That's why it's important to understand there's a certain faith that's different. Faith that's different. Notice those in Damascus did not so much do that. They were able to be, he proved to them that the son of Elohim was Messiah. Messiah was the son of Elohim, not just a man. And that Yeshua was that son of man. Oh, notice the thoughts of those in Damascus. But all that heard him were amazed. Is it not he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem? So that means this wasn't happening in Damascus. But now those, there are certain, and that's why some verses will say Judaizers instead of Jews. This is a particular religion, a belief system. When it says the Jews took counsel to kill him, it's because it's a different belief system that's not really rooted, properly rooted in the scriptures. It's rooted in something else, in the tradition of the fathers. So they have another belief system. So when I was new to quote-unquote Hebraic roots movements, I thought the current Jewish faith was the same, but it's not. It's not. It was a religion set up by the Pharisees combined with the Sadducees. It's a combination of things, of man-made traditions. Pharisees being leaders and such a things, high priests being the leader of Israel, these things were not scriptural. It is the prophets and kings that were to be the leaders, not the high priests and so on. Such things as Pharisees being in charge were not things that Elohim set up. These are things the religion of Judaism set up over time through controversy, and they had different opinions about how it should be. So they, these people of that mindset, took counsel to kill him. Wow. They don't want this kingdom. They don't want this son of Elohim. They're going to kill him. And they watched day and night to kill him. But the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Wasn't Philip taken by the Spirit after baptizing the Ethiopian and brought someplace by a miraculous way? When I saw this in my own suffering sometimes, because I've experienced many miracles in my life, and there's sometimes I did not experience miracles, things where I was delivered through regular ways. So you can see here, Paul was not miraculously taken away. Even Messiah could have done that, but he allowed it to be so. He was brought down the wall in a basket. Wow, he was not taken up, even though Elohim could have done that. He was taken out for a basket. So it shows us sometimes we need to do things on ourselves, that all righteousness that we can do by our own means, we need to do. But when we can't do it by ourselves, when we can't escape by ourselves, when there's no one who can help us escape, we have to rely on Elohim. Here he was let down through a basket. So he went to Jerusalem and he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. We need to pay attention to these things. There's a reason why it's being said. Do you notice that this communication that happened between Ananias and Saul did not happen here? This fellowship of the Spirit, Elohim, for whatever reason, chose not to do that with the disciples in Jerusalem. They were afraid of him. The Spirit did not chose not to communicate with the brethren, the disciples in Jerusalem, that Paul was truly a believer. And that's why we need to be so careful and not to judge each other, brethren. As I've said, we need to be very long-suffering with each other because we must be careful. You see, they were afraid. Why? Because the Spirit chose not to communicate this to them. What's our level of fellowship with the Spirit? Do we have this high level of fellowship with the Spirit that we can discern so quickly and judge and dismiss each other? We better be very careful about that. We better be very careful because these disciples were filled with the Spirit chose not to tell them. And in fact, but what happened? But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So be careful in how we judge. But what happened? Barnabas, the son of consolation, took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared unto them how he had, and what happened here? Barnabas bore witness to the disciples, to the apostles, and told them how he had seen the sovereign. So it's Barnabas that's bearing witness, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the sovereign Savior Yeshua. And he was with them coming and going out at Jerusalem. So that fellowship was established by the testimony of the son of consolation, Barnabas. Okay? So that's why we must seek each other out. We must be patient with each other. We must not look at the mote in our brother's eye while we have a beam in our own eye. Let's not forget that. We must work to unite the brethren, brothers and sisters. As I've said, we must work to unite the brethren, because while the adversary is doing all this evil, we must unite. There's a lot of evil going on. We must unite. There's no time to be judging each other about the mote or the beam in each other's eyes. Rather, we must love each other, even as Messiah loved them with the beam and the mote in their eyes. With all their uncleanness, he loved them. We must have put on the mind of Messiah, not Hebrew roots necessarily. It's not the Hebraic mindset. I used to think that. That's not what we need to put on. We need to put on the mind of Messiah. Hebrews, all of these things are fallible. Who was the Hebrew of Hebrews? Abraham. He was fallible. He listened to the counsel of his wife, and you know, trouble came out, but Elohim in his mercy still worked out a blessing. No, it's not Hebrew minds we need to put on. Hebrew minds are mortals. Paul had a Hebrew mind. These Jews that were trying to kill Saul and Messiah and all the prophets had Hebrew minds. They thought Hebraic thoughts. We mustn't think like that. That's human theology. We must put on the mind of Messiah. That's what we need to put on. Then we could be like the son of consolation, like Barnabas. Then we could be like Ananias. Then we could be like Saul. Don't put on anything fleshy. Flesh and blood, carnal mind, Hebraic or Gentile cannot do the things of Elohim's law. That's why Messiah said, if you kept the law, you would not seek to kill me. Why? Because they had the Hebraic mind. They were Hebrews. Gentile, Hebraic. He has concluded all these things under sin so that he might show his grace to all. Let's not cast away his grace by putting on fleshy things, because it is by the Spirit we will be able to be obedient. I stop here, dear brethren. Let's all be sons of consolation and seek out each other, not judging each other because of the beam in our eyes, for none of us have yet attained the full measure and stature of Messiah. Amen. Amen. Many blessings.